Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. I'm Maddie, and you are listening to an episode in our podcast series, Oh, the Places You Will Go, an SLP Spotlight, where I get to interview speech pathologists who have interesting positions in our field, from the very basic to the most interesting spots, places, people they work with, and all of that in between. I get to have the fun of just chatting with these SLPs, finding out what they do, how they got their jobs, and any words of advice they have for other SLPs. So listen as we explore all the wonderful things an SLP can do. Here we are. Hello and welcome, Leanne Porter. This is, we were just talking as we were getting started on how I get a little nervous starting, and Leanne's just, she's a cherry for me because she's one of those podcasters that I look up to. So she says her introductions are awkward as well. So Now that is out of the way, the awkwardness of it all, welcome, Leanne, and we're glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited. This is a new feeling for me to be, you know, on the other side of the microphone.
I know so many people who listen to your podcast. So as long as we're here, tell us who you are and what you do and how you got started.
Sure. So I'm Leanne. I'm in Kansas City, and I'm an outpatient speech and language pathologist. So I work with adults in the medical setting. Outpatient is my primary role, but I also cover inpatient rehab and acute care. And I have a PRN job because my outpatient work is only part-time. It's 20 hours a week. So if anybody thinks like, oh my goodness, how is she working so much PRNing and have a podcast? Girl, don't worry. Because
I was wondering that. I'm thinking, wow, she makes me look like silent.
Part-time work. My PRN gig is very low. Like, I'm not called like constantly. So it's just, and I love that PRN job because it gives me exposure to another hospital system, another culture of work, more SLPs to feed off of, because I just love tapping people for information. That's like how I learn, clearly, because I started a podcast to share what I learned from people with everybody else. So I'm the host of the Speech Uncensored podcast, which is geared towards medical SLPs covering the lifespan. So that includes medical SLPs who work in pediatric hospitals as well. We want to cover those topics, and SLPs who work in the neonatal intensive care units. So those are relevant topics to us as well. Of course, my primary focus is, you know, treating adults across all the scope of practice that we experience. So I love being able to interview people on a vast variety of topics and learning more about the really interesting and niche things that we can do, like working on a burn unit. Like, that was wild. I'm like, we do that? What? Okay, tell me more.
I've picked up some PRN work on my myself, working with below poverty level teens or homeless teens, working with their cognitive language, speech along the continuum. Very interesting setting, very non-conventional. So I agree with you. It's very interesting what we can do in our fields as speech pathologists.
Yeah, I was getting really kind of like low-key burnt out, thinking like, this is the same job I'm going to have for the rest of my career. And I mean, if that suits you, more power to you, go and rock that out. But there is so much more. And so I really enjoy learning those stories and being able to share and inspire other people to be like, if you don't even know if you can do that with this career path, I've met so many people who have created career paths for themselves, taking this type of work that we do and making something that fit them and their lifestyle better. And I'm like, that's awesome.
So let's just follow this line of reasoning then, or this line of thinking. What advice would you have for a speech pathologist who is in a career who she is starting to feel burned out, or she's feeling squished between the demands of possibly a skilled nursing facility, yet she wants to care for her residents, the patients that she works with? How does she begin to find those opportunities that you're talking about?
That's funny. I wanted to say that's such a good question, but my husband actually has a pet peeve about saying that statement.
Because I would say that is a good question.
I know, right? It is. It's a good question. He just has a weird pet peeve about it. So that's what made me laugh. Okay, so back to your very good question.
These are the questions that I'm sure the listeners are thinking. Because you and I have these great careers, and the people that we interview have these great careers. Mm-hmm. And the listeners are like, how do I get that? How do I'm stuck in this job. I have to have benefits. Yeah, I care for my kids. Mm-hmm. I've got to have so many things. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. How do I land those dream jobs that I want as a voice specialist or in a medical unit? Or how do I do the things I want to do? How do I work with these people?
I think it is about networking, and like a little piece of me inside died when I said that, because I used to think networking was like, oh, something kind of distasteful, something that you did because you were ambitious and you wanted to get ahead and all this stuff. But it's literally about meeting people, learning who they are, what their passions are. And that just naturally leads to opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so I'll give you an example. Like, in my PRN job, I met another outpatient therapist. For my PRN job, actually, I don't do outpatient. I do inpatient rehab. So she just works for the same hospital system. And so they were having a Christmas party that I was invited to. So I went, of course.
Of course.
And so I'm talking with this other outpatient therapist. And I'm like, so what is like your favorite thing to treat? Like, what is your you know, someone comes in the door with this diagnosis and you are jazzed. What is it? And she was like, Christmas. And I was like, that's so weird. Because that's like something small within the big umbrella of head and neck cancer. Right. So I was like, what an interesting response. And then, so we talk a little bit more about that, you know, and then 2 weeks later, I get a referral for someone whose primary concern that they're coming to me for is for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sweet, I've got a contact. I can reach out to this person and learn more about that. That's networking. Mm-hmm. And so not only do we have like a good working relationship, like I like to think we actually like each other too. You know, that just adds like a social level to it too. That's really nice. So it's not all business worky work. It's like layered. So if you're feeling kind of getting to a place where you're burnt out, you want so much more for your career and your work, but you're not feeling like you're experiencing it. I think one of the things you can start with doing is maybe like a examination of your SLP network. How connected are you to other SLPs and in what ways? And I think of that as essentially you're building like a mentorship network.
Mm-hmm.
But we often think of mentorship as almost in terms of like power or knowledge, being one has more and the other has less. That's what makes a mentor and a mentee. Mm-hmm. But rather, you can build equal levels of mentorship through your SLP network of other providers where you're all kind of in the same boat. But like in my example with my other outpatient friend, she's very knowledgeable about Trismus. So I'm going to go to her about those topics that she's very passionate about. She knows I'm more interested. Oh gosh, I've actually been thinking, what are you more interested in right now? I think right now for me, it's like life participation and making everything really functional for that patient in their home environment is kind of like what I'm really fascinated with right now. So if she had questions about that, she could come to me in that way, but we're equals. Does that make sense?
It does. So
it's like building, a network of equal menteeing.
Right. And helping one another and just providing, I don't know, cheerleading resources. Mm-hmm. Here's how I figure things out. I was talking with somebody the other night, and the reason why I'm asking these questions is because she says, you know, I'm just feeling burned out and stuck. And so I jotted down just a little process that I go through, and I call it my transition time. So I don't want to ever feel like I'm stuck. So I want to change my wording.
I don't want to use the negative. I use the positive. This is a transition time. This is a time where I start to question. I gather information. I solve problems. I do tests and trials. And then I make a decision. It reminds me of when we do the video swallow studies. What are, you know, we go in, what are the questions that we have? What are we, the information we gather? Let's do our trials, gather our information, and then make our decision. And by helping, just drawing on one another, we are able to support one another with a variety of things, just based on our own experiences, and then reaching out to others as well and finding inspiration from others.
Yeah. And, you know, I use the example of somebody that I live in the same town with and that I see in person occasionally, but I also have a very similar relationship like that with a lot of SLPs that I've not met before that I know just online by having similar interests. And in fact, one of them reached out the other day online and she had this really awesome idea that she just wanted some feedback on. And I am like here to support that idea. I think it's wonderful. I'm excited to see where it's going. So you don't always have to have people in your 10-mile radius. You know, we can get creative and we can use technology, and it works pretty well too.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. Excellent, because the world is just smaller, bigger at the same time. And there are so many other speech pathologists out there who have some of the same thoughts, same struggles, same dreams, desires, aspirations.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I know you also do, Future Colleague Collaborative.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
All right. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. And I love it so much. So it came about, of course, because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And on my Instagram stories page, students were kind of giving me their feedback on what their options were when their externships were interrupted and they could no longer provide that in-person treatment experience before they graduated. So they were using a tool called Simucase, and their impression of it was, you know, it's what we have now, but it's not real in-person experience. And they felt like they were just having to learn how to answer the questions correctly rather than, and that didn't necessarily translate to how they would treat somebody in person. So they were kind of disappointed by that type of disconnect. So I was like, all right, you know, SLP people out there on the interwebs, like, what can we do to support our students right now as they're going through this? And another SLP reached out and told me that over in the UK, they started doing this gathering where an SLP would present on a topic and then give a case study so that the students could apply what they just learned to that case study and discuss it, like, all online. And I'm like, that's such a great idea. Let's do that. So I asked for some help because everything works when you have help. And I can't do anything on my own. It takes a lot of help, which I'm really grateful for. So a lot of people were really involved and really excited about volunteering their time to create a 30-minute presentation on their passion, on what they love to share with other SLPs and other students. And so I was really happy to coordinate all of this with Teresa Richard of the Swallow Your Pride podcast. And we were able to do two SLPs every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night for the whole month of May. And at first I was like, I don't even know if we're going to get enough people who want to present. And I was like, you know what? It's fine, Leanne. Don't worry about it. If only one person volunteers for a night, then you'll just have that one speaker. And if nobody does, then you're off that night. It'll be fine. But we had such a beautiful, we had such a beautiful overwhelming response. I had to tell people that there were no more spots, and I felt terrible. And I was like so impressed with our SLP community for like showing up. It was really inspiring. And then I absolutely loved being able to host. And then I tried to transition and have other people come in and host and kind of like share that joy with other people. So really, actually, love hosting, clearly, because I have a podcast now. And I loved joining and just listening to my colleagues share their knowledge and insight. And I learned so much. I loved it. Like, it's so great.
I was one of your presenters, and I was honored, happy, excited to to do that for the community and talk about something that I was passionate about. And I listened to some of the other presentations as well. And it was like, oh, there's people out there just like me who just love what they do. And we geek out on it. Yeah. We could talk like, yes. You know, I co-presented with somebody. I followed her. We didn't co-present. And you gave us each questions time at the end. And both of us just had people asking more questions than we had time for.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that. I'm really looking forward to doing this again in the future and like what that looks like and how it can grow and build. And the other thing that I really loved about this was connecting students with SLPs. To begin that level of learning who knows what, who to go to for what. That's what I struggled with when I first got into the field. I had so many questions, and I had really great CF supervisor and another SLP mentor that was close to sort of being on site for me. Both of them were amazing SLPs, really helpful. But I treated pediatrics when I first started, and they were both adult SLPs. So they could help a little bit, but they couldn't answer all my questions for my pediatric patients. And that's when I realized when I had the opportunity in grad school, I was not building those connections with other SLPs. I was not building a network of people to go to and to learn from when I had these questions. And then it took me till basically starting a podcast to learn that that's what I needed to do at the beginning. And so that's what I love encouraging people to do now is it's never too late to start that. Build that network.
As a podcaster, is there a story that stands out to you where someone has reached back to you and said, Leanne, you just really made a difference?
I get little notes here and there about certain things that they're just like, you know, grateful for the podcast and the learning, like being able to learn on the go. You know, people are busy. People have very involved jobs. They have families. They have loads of other responsibilities. And yet on top of all of those things, we're still required to do extra learning to maintain our license. And our works don't always support giving us the time to do that on a regular basis. So, the feedback that I've gotten is that people are really appreciative that the medium of podcasts, they're able to do that on the go. They're able to listen in their car. They're able to do it while they exercise or while they fold laundry or paint their toenails. I don't know, whatever you want to do while you can listen at the same time and still have good accuracy with whatever it is you're doing on the side. So, I like that people are able to like weave it into their everyday lives and, feed their brains and nourish their minds. Like, I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. Next question. Where do you plan to go with your podcast from here?
I don't know. I've always thought it would be super awesome to have do a traveling show, like go around and be able to interview people and have people come and be in an audience and then do more audience participation and more like live question and answer. I just think that would be really fun. What that looks like and how to execute that, I have no idea. I'm still trying to do laundry every week and stay on top of my house chores. Like, I don't even know where to begin to crack that nut. So...
It'll be fun to watch what happens with all of this happening, how COVID has changed all of the online presence, work, teaching, webinars, chat groups, Instagram, everything. Mm-hmm. The world's changed, but I think in many ways it's bringing out the better in us by encouraging us. Yes, we've had to recreate. I'm very familiar with Simucase as a professor, and our students were like, with Simucase, you have a pre-brief, then you do the assessment, and then you have or the therapy, and then you have your debrief. And the students would ask questions like, well, this really doesn't make sense because I did this previous one. And so those are opportunities for learning, questioning, and just becoming better in our critical thinking skills. So neat opportunities that you've created with your podcasting and FCC and everything else. Yeah. Final words of advice for a new speech pathologist. What you wish you had known coming out?
What I wish I had known coming out, like that.
Starting your either CFY or
so big, because there were so many things I thought I should have known. Oh, you know what? I guess I could like circle back to this one. It's I'm like thinking out loud and it's awkward. Don't worry.
I was awkward at the start of this whole entire podcast. These are, you know, if we make this look really simple and easy, that means we've done a good job.
Right? Yeah.
It's not easy.
No, it's not. It does. Yeah. It takes lots of practice. I don't know how applicable this would be to everybody, but I needed the tools to learn how to manage stress. I did not know that there were tools I could use. And so, yeah, because I was facing burnout like right out of the gate. Like my first 2 years, I joined a Facebook group that was like, how can I exit this field?
I know like, that group.
Yeah. And I was like, oh gosh, Lane,
I know that group.
You just started. Why are you joining this group? I wasn't feeling fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that had many facets to it that would take a lot to unpack. But one of them was managing stress. And so if I had the tools to manage my stress in the different areas of my life, including my SLP stress, I think that would have brought a lot more clarity and peace and allowed me to focus more on learning the tools and just being a lot more calmer those first couple years. So in my podcast, I interviewed three different people, all different walks of life, who talk about managing stress or talk about burnout and talk about like tools to use. And so they're all over the place. That kind of makes it sound like it's not organized. It is. Like one of those episodes was with Tavana, and she talks about like overcoming burnout as a rehab professional. And she gave me some really awesome tools and insights that really helped. Another one was I interviewed Jesse Andrix, and she's like really involved in like managing SLP stress before it becomes burnout, like getting ahead of it. And it's all, of course, focused very specifically to the type of work we do and to our needs as rehab professionals. And then I also interviewed Ginger, who owns and runs like a multi-site private practice clinic in Tennessee. So she's like very much in the business aspect of the SLP world right now. And so she comes at it from a employee and employer perspective, which I think was really insightful and really helped give me another more rounded experience. So I found those interviews to be personally super helpful. And I've actually taken the things that I learned from each three of those women and put them into practice and have seen really good results in my own practice, in my life, just all over the place on how to manage stress.
Sounds like an excellent response. Excellent, excellent ideas. So tell us the name of your podcast again.
Speech Uncensored.
So we can go back and find those interviews?
Yes. Yep. They're on there. Every episode also has show notes where I link to the materials that mm-hmm. the guests have given me so that listeners can learn more, dig deeper, and take what they've listened and heard and are ideally apply it to their lives in that case, or apply it to their practice. Excellent. So all those show notes are on speechuncensored.com. And I love feedback and I love hearing from people. And I do all of my engaging with like audience on Instagram. And that's at Speech Uncensored on Instagram. So feel free to find me there and interact with me there.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was so much fun, Maddie. Yay!
It was fun. Thanks.
I hope today's conversation has created some aha moments for you and motivated you to become a better SLP, continuing to connect some of those missing links between what you know and how to use that knowledge. Thank you for downloading the Missing Link for SLP's podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to subscribe, rate it, and leave a short review. Also, please share an episode with a friend. Together, we can raise awareness and help more SLPs find and connect those missing links and get the information needed to help them feel confident in their patient care every step of the way. Follow me on Instagram and join the Fresh SLP community on Facebook. Show notes are always available, so come learn more at freshslp.com. Let's make those connections. You got this.